May the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. We'll start here in Philippians chapter 2. It says, do all things without grumbling or complaining or disputing. Okay, everybody ready to repeat? No. It didn't say some things. It didn't say most things. It said, do all things without grumbling or murmuring or disputing, that you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may have cause to glory, because I did not run in vain or toil in vain. Isn't it interesting that, and we know the ministry of things like signs and wonders are so significant, and the value and the impact they carry. But it's interesting here that he says, in the midst of a perverse and crooked generation, that we'll prove ourselves to be children of God above reproach, and will appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life by not murmuring and complaining and disputing. It says in Psalm 27, Psalm 27 is a great psalm, as a matter of fact, but the very last part of Psalm 27, in verse 13, this is really familiar scripture. It says, I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. There's a place in Job, I know that's one of your favorite books, but Job, having suffered a lot of loss and experiencing a lot of pain, even though it says in the first chapter of Job that he was the most righteous man in all the world. And what Job was dealing with were friends being used by the enemy to condemn him, and then him struggling with the fact that it just wasn't fair, because he was the most righteous man in all the world. God says that about him, and yet all this stuff was happening. And eventually God began to reveal some things to him. One was that God was big. The other was that God was always good. And because God's big, he could do anything he wants to do, and he doesn't have to explain himself to us. And because he's good, we can trust him. And then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things, and that no purposes of yours can be thwarted. And who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have declared that which I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Hear now, and I will speak, and I will ask, and you, Lord, instruct me, instead of me instructing you. I have heard of you with the hearing of my ear, but now my eyes see thee, and therefore I retract, and I repent in dust and ashes. Interesting to me that he obviously walked with the Lord, because the scripture says that he was the most righteous man in all the world. So I don't think you could walk with the Lord and that not be true. That be true about you, that you were the most righteous person in the world if you weren't walking with the Lord. And yet, there was something about this whole thing that he went through that caused him to say, I've heard you with the hearing of my ear. But now, literally, the language is, but the eyes of my spirit now see you. There's a way in which I see you, which I didn't see you before. There's something that you discover about God's goodness when you can't see it. There's something to discover about your level of maturity and your faith level when it seems like everything but God's goodness is prevailing, when all you can see is darkness and chaos. And so in that place, do we murmur and complain and cause disputes? Or do we see the goodness of God in the land of living? When David said, I would have despaired if I didn't believe I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. And here's the point. He believed he would see the goodness of God in the land of the living, so he started looking for it. I used to hear you with the hearing of my ears. Now the eyes of my spirit see you. God never explained himself to Job. Did you know that? He never explained what this was all about. But Job said, I've complained about things too wonderful for me to understand. And I think, I'll shut up and let you start talking. I think about the fact that when Simeon, who was an old man, that God had given him a promise that he would not die until he saw the Messiah, and Anna, who was 84 years old. She had spent about 60 years of her life mainly in the temple area, fasting and praying every day to see the Messiah. And it says about both of them that they were looking for the consolation of Israel. You have to realize that I don't know how many years Simeon had been given that promise. We know that Anna's been about 60 years or so where she's been believing and fasting and praying. And yet this was just another day like every other day. Hundreds of people, maybe more than that, coming through, babies being brought in, little ones who are going to be committed to the Lord, who are going to be named, who are all kinds of stuff going on. And this was no like royal family that brought Jesus. He was just another baby. They were just another poor family, kid, couple of young people who didn't have much from Orville. They weren't from a big city. And yet, Simeon and Anna both spotted him. And Simeon even said, he's been prepared in the presence of all the people. So Jesus was there with Joseph and Mary. Anybody could have spotted him, but Simeon spotted him. Anna spotted him. You know why? They were looking. David said, I would have despaired had I not believed I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. You'll never see the goodness of God until you start believing that the goodness of God is there, even though you can't see it yet. Job couldn't see the goodness of God, but he believed. And he repented of his complaining and murmuring and disputing. Now, he was given back to him twice of everything that he lost, but he still suffered the loss. That was still real. But he stopped murmuring and complaining. He started believing. And when you start believing, let me just say this to you, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you might go through, and all of us go through stuff, right? I understand what it means to go through a thing or two. The goodness of God is there. If you'll believe it before you see it, then you'll see it. But you can't believe it and complain and murmur and dispute at the same time. It's the opposite. Now, that's a personal word. Let's make it bigger. My prayer is that the world and all that's going on will begin to believe that the goodness of God somehow is happening in the midst of all the chaos and loss. And when we believe it, then all of a sudden we can see. We don't see and then believe. We believe and then we see. There's a big difference. And then we'll stand out like lights, holding forth the word of light in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Because I don't believe the answer to everything that we're going to have go on is this election, regardless of who wins. Never has been. People ask me, how are you going to vote? Pro-life. I don't care if they have a purple mohawk. I'm voting pro-life. You with me? But I remember back in the 70s when Ronald Reagan put three Supreme Court justices that were supposed to be pro-life. And every one of them turned out to be liberals in terms of being not pro-life. Now, I know there's a new one. We should pray. We hope. Yeah, praise the Lord. But in the end, what's going to happen in all the stuff that's going on, it's not going to get better until Jesus gets bigger in the eyes of the church. And when he gets bigger in the eyes of the church, it'll be the church that the world runs to for answers. It'll be the ones who aren't murmuring and complaining and disputing or dividing among each other about huge and significant important things like masks. That was a joke. It's going to get bigger than that. It's going to find people with joy unspeakable, full of glory, a peace that passes understanding, an unquenchable love. That's who the world will turn to for answers. Because light always shines out of darkness. But it starts where? Where does it happen in our lives today? Some of us spend so much time murmuring and complaining and disputing because this isn't happening right, and that's not happening right, and this person's not acting right, and that person didn't do me right, and That's so impressive to the world. Instead of worshiping God, praising Him for His goodness. Because once you do, then you'll begin to see all the places where God's goodness is actually prevailing, and that's really the big story, not the stuff that you don't understand right. And obeys, by the way, and this sounds like a hard word, God doesn't owe you an explanation. We owe him one. This is why we've been wasting our time murmuring and complaining and disputing. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.